Guys, it's really a privilege to be here. Obviously, all of us survived 2012 with some close calls there at the end, some world end predictions. Some of you survived some scary Christmas dinners and puddings and some, you know, forced or self-inflicted family reunions. You know, so we've come through a lot during last year. Personally, I visited the dentist. Is there any of you guys that's in dentistry at the moment? Okay, there's someone there. Some of the first years going into dentistry. Okay, there's some people there. Okay. But you guys, most of you probably are into the medicinal part of life. And, I was at the dentist twice, once to have half a root canal done. And that was actually just a botch up because it ended up in an abscess that the dentist had to drain again. I'm going somewhere with this if you think I'm just telling gross stories. And eventually, you know when you open your mouth and a dentist go, that's what happened to me. So the dentist said there's a lot of stuff wrong in your mouth. You have to go to a prostodontist. I actually wrote it down. So I had my first visit. Some of you just missed the Christmas pudding. I had to survive a prostodontist. When I tell people on my side of the world that, they go like, oh, so can you sit down now? And I'm like, no, man, that's the wrong cavity. They check me in through the front door. It's not a proctologist. It's a prostodontist. And I think the word dentist people help me. It's from the word prosthesis. Prostodontist in the teeth. So actually, they just want to give me false teeth, you know. So that's what they want to do. And that's why I preach around to get money to pay for that. No, I'm kidding. I don't even know if the guy's going to give me money tonight. You know, so, yeah, but that's where we are at the moment. But just keep the dentist picture in your head for a while, for later on. My sermon tonight is what's on your mind, and I guess there's a lot of stuff on everyone's mind in the beginning of the year. You can sit here today with fear in your life. You can sit here with an excitement in your life. You can sit here with doubt. You know, maybe you're first year and the rector is your uncle or something, so you've got no worries or whatever. Just some exams to get through. But where I came on this sermon is just during December. This December with the dentist and everything, I had one of those droning Decembers. It was a long December. And just to summarize, I actually just during this December, when the pressure isn't on, you know, we stop spending time with the Lord. And I know I'm just sharing one sinner to some other people. I know there's some of you guys that's really disciplined and you're really fired up, you know, and you think, how dare you not read your Bible during December. So maybe I'm speaking to myself again here, but I just realized that one of those basic principles, you know, of not eating of the grace of Jesus Christ, not having lunch and dinner and breakfast with Him, you know, not being deep spiritual, just talking to God regularly and spending time with Him regularly and just spending time in His Word is so crucial for us, you know, to get through every day. And that's why at the beginning of the year, I want us to be really honest with what is on your mind. Are you focused this year on, and this is church. So in church, we talk about the things of God. But when we go from here, everything ultimately that we do should bring glory to God. You know, and that's the way God have created us as human beings. If I ask you guys tonight, what is your ultimate desire? I'll just, for the sake of time, somehow answer it myself as well. Most of you won't have a problem with saying, you know, I really like to be happy. I like to be happy in my studies. I like to be happy in my vocation. I like to be happy wherever I go. But tonight I want to make a statement and I want to say that I really believe that you guys and myself, we can ultimately only be happy when we are holy. Do you agree with me? I'm not such a great theologian. And holiness isn't this religious idea that the world many times shape and form and throw at us. Holiness many times when you look at it from a religious, worldly perspective is such a boring thing. You know, it's the church thing that people do. You know, it's being pious you know, being all quiet and shh, you in church, that kind of thing. But holiness ultimately is about who God is and who Jesus Christ is. And who we allow God to be in our lives. And that's the challenge that we have to start off this year. In your mind, what's on your mind? How much does God feature in your mind? How much does Jesus Christ feature in your mind? Have you consecrated this year to the Lord already? Or are you happy-go-lucky? Are you gonna call out to God just before the exams and do those emergency prayers? Or when things at work, you know, are going haywire, you know, then we call into God. And the amazing thing is God is there. He answers. He waits for us. But God doesn't just want to be our God in times of crisis. He wants to be our God 24/7. He wants us to find our happiness in Him. There's a guy called John Piper. And he talks about Christian hedonism. And you know what the word hedonism means? It's pleasure seekers. It's people that just seeks pleasure. And in the world, when we just seek pleasure, you know, that end up in a lot of destruction. But there's nothing wrong with seeking pleasure in God. Because He's the ultimate one that fulfill the desire that we have for joy and for happiness. But we can find that only in His holiness. So I want to challenge you this year. Eat of the grace of God. Grace is the provision and the power that God gives us. The substance that He gives us. Not just to survive, but to truly overcome. And that's something that I experienced this December, is that when we stop speaking to God, it's not like God stops speaking to us. He's always speaking to us in different ways. Through nature, through our friends, through church, through sermons, through music, through the Bible, through His Spirit. He speaks to us. But when we stop speaking to God, when we start neglecting time spent with the Lord, it's as if we become more sensitive to other voices that's not from Him, that's not truth. Stuff that just comes to, it influences us and it starts stealing our joy. And that's what the enemy of our soul does. He wants to steal our joy because the joy of the Lord is our strength. We find our strength in Jesus Christ. And I want to do some marketing for the church. You know, not to grab people and want them to stay here, but for the sake that the church is the place where we're supposed to find that fulfillment in Christ amongst one another, to keep one another accountable. And I experience it every time, because I'm a very ill-disciplined guy. I experience it every time when I move away from my brothers and my sisters, that I become lukewarm. I'm one of those guys that regularly need a clap against my cup. I'm married to a beautiful wife who's got a great back arm. But I need guys, actually, you know, just to keep me in intact, to keep me accountable for the things of God. To ask me, you know, do I spend time with God? And I want to challenge everyone here today. If you don't have an accountability partner, if you don't have someone that can keep you accountable to the things of God, get one. Okay? I sell them for 55 rands. It's the same price as the... No, I'm kidding. It's someone that's serious about walking a road with Jesus Christ. It's someone that's serious to see you succeed in life. And someone who knows that your ultimate success you will find in Jesus. And this is what this church is all about. It's about Jesus. It's about bringing glory to Jesus. Okay? We do eat cupcakes and we drink coffee. And we have a lot of fun. We do outreaches. We want to bring a change to the world. But the change that we bring must bring glory to God. That's ultimately what we have to do. In Romans 6 verse 11, we read this scripture. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. iPad glitch. Let's try that again. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. And the word righteousness simply means to do right to be right, to be in a right standing with who God is. And God says, all of us, we are members. And we have to stay in accountability towards God and towards one another to present our bodies, to present our gifts, what we have, to righteousness for God's sake, to bring glory to Him. Now, there's a lot of talent that is represented in this place. And what you have to ask yourself is, how this year am I going to use the talents, the instruments that God has given me as righteousness, instruments of righteousness to bring glory to God? So what is on your mind regarding that? I just quickly want to talk about sin. I just want to throw it out there that the purpose of sin is to blind us from the goodness of God. We sang it a lot this morning about the goodness of God. And the purpose of sin is to blind us. And sin simply means to miss the mark. And the mark that we have to hit every time is Jesus. So everything that is not according to Jesus is not holy. If we don't think like Jesus, if we don't do like Jesus, if we don't talk like Jesus, we in sin. It's as simple as that. Sin is not just the active rebellious stuff that we do out there in the world. Sin is also a state of being of who we are. And that's why the Lord came. To set us free from sin and the wages of sin, which is death. The whole gospel story is a story of freedom and life in abundance. It is called the good news. The good news because we are set free from the lies of the enemy. We are set free from those things. And I know sin is one of those things that, you know, that that when you start talking about it in church, you know, some people, you know, everybody's going to sit up straight now, but everybody, they slump back in their chairs, you know, because they're afraid someone's going to check you out, you know, and see if there's sin in your life. And when we talk about sin in church, it's not supposed to bring condemnation. It's really supposed to bring us to a place where we realize that God is holy and the things of God is good and that we must have a desire for those things. And sin is the things that contaminate that. It splatters the image of God's goodness. It's like when you drive down the road with your wipers on and, you know, those muddy, watery, gunky stuff splashes on your windscreen and it... So you keep on going, but you can't see where you're going. And sooner or later, you make an accident. And it's the goodness of God that helps us to get away from sinful things in our lives. Like I said, the mark that us as humans are supposed to hit is Jesus. But we keep on missing becoming like Jesus. Because Jesus is holy, Jesus is sinless, Jesus is perfect. And the purpose of sin is to keep us from being holy. I found this, it's not on there, but this jewel of a scripture in Hebrews 10 verse 14. For by a single offering, He has perfected for all times those who are being sanctified. I'm going to read that again. For by a single offering, talking about Jesus Christ Himself, talking about that sacrifice that He made on the cross to pay for our sin, to die for us, and to buy freedom for us. By a single offering, He has perfected for all time. Now think about that. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've done it, or maybe you're going to do it tonight, or maybe you're going to do it later in this year, this is what the Word says. It says, you have been perfected. Have you guys seen perfection? Which of you have seen perfection? I have children, little ones. I've got a boy. He's about 5 years old, and a girl 3 years old. He's 5 years old. She's 3 years old. I'm a confused old man. I wrote matric in 1994. Yeah, that makes me 18 years your senior if you're a first year. But please don't call me Wim. Okay, I've got a boy, beautiful, and a girl, beautiful. To me, that's perfection. Okay? I love them. And I know they're not perfect. But God looks at us that way when he sees us as his kids, because he is our Father. He looks at you when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and he says, you are perfect. You're perfect because my Son has once and for all paid on the cross for you, and he's made you perfect. And then there's a bit of a paradox in this scripture. It says, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the word sanctify means, comes from the word sanctuary, Ross. Sanctify. Sanctuary means the holy place. Sanctified means to be set apart for holiness. That's what it means. And what this scripture is saying is that when we accept Jesus Christ, God the Father look at us and he says, you guys are perfect. But on this side of life, you know, because you are still in mortal bodies, you are prone to the attack of sin. You are prone to the attack of death and stuff. But you are being sanctified as long as you walk with me, as long as you seek me, as long as you keep your face, as long as you keep your eyes on me, on Jesus Christ. And it's beautiful because this scripture takes the pressure off us to perform. Because a lot of us, we come into a performance mode when we try to please God. Without realizing it, we form laws and principles and stuff that we try to keep. And those things just, you know, just to be good. We try to be good because we think God grade us on a curve. We think that God look at us and he grade us on a curve, and, you know, at the end of every day or end of every week, you know, he'd pull up his Excel spreadsheet and he'd, you know, do the math and the accounting, and, you know, according to where you end that week, you know, he'd hit you with a stick like low, medium, hard. That's the picture that a lot of us have of God in our minds. And that's not the way he is. He's a loving God. He's a good God. He's a just God. And he comes and he says, I am sanctifying you. I'm setting you free. But are we hungry for that freedom? He says, I look at you and I say, in Christ you are holy. But I want you to be more and more and more and more and more like me on this side, because you, as the church of Jesus Christ, represent me on this side of life. And I need you to operate at your max. Not because I'm a slave driver, because I'm a father and you are my children. And I want you to experience the glory when you are obedient to me. I want you to experience that. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And just something about sin again. Sin doesn't come knocking on our door with a pitchfork. You know, it comes in disguise. John Calvin said the following. He said that every one of us is, even from his mother's womb, a master craftsman of idols. If unchecked in our sinning, we keep on making idols. There's idol factories in our hearts. Now, an idol, per definition, is anything that is not God, per our definition as Christians. It's anything or anyone or any thought that's got nothing to do with God. Anything that we give our time and our energy and our affection to, our thoughts to, our money to, can become an idol. Because we are worshippers by heart. We worship. That's what we do. That's why we want to be happy. We're looking for it. Either in our careers, either in our ambitions and our achievement, we're looking for it. And the thing with idols, it always overpromises and it underdelivers. That's what an idol does. Now, so your work, your studies, whatever, it can be an idol in your life. And you don't get rid of an idol. It's not like we're saying, listen, stop your work, stop your studies, become a missionary. Because missionary work or church can become an idol as well. It's about the condition of your heart. It's about, do you use the things that God has graced you to worship it or to bring glory to him? Do you hear what I'm saying today? It is awfully quiet in this place. Maybe I should talk about the dentist again. The challenge is just, guys, that what we love or what we fear is what we worship. And that's why I'm asking you tonight, what's on your mind? Who's on your mind? Maybe there's a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever. What you love, what you fear, you worship. It's something that happens automatically. And if we don't get into the discipline to spend time with Jesus, to spend time in His Word, and to search out the love and the goodness and the mercy of God that He has for us, we tend to start focusing on these idols in our lives. Galatians 3 verse 1 to 3 says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" Okay, I'm not going to read that whole scripture. It's not very deep. But the point I'm trying to make there is that the enemy of our souls are very sly. He doesn't come with grinding teeth and a pitchfork in hand to drag us away from God. It comes in subtly. It comes in through the things that we love, the things that we care for. And I want you guys just to be alert to that. Just talk to God in this year and say, "Lord, I want you to be on my mind. I want to think like you. I want to do like you. I want to ultimately bring glory to your name. Help me with that discipline," because God gives you the grace. His Spirit gives you the grace to walk in that. Don't be bewitched. Okay. Now this is what I want to get to just today, is the character of God. And I need us to have this foundation of the character of God. How am I on time? Good. I'm good. Okay. I'm not good on water, so just hang on. Good. I'm hydrated. Lekker. Here we go. Part of what sin does, like I said, it blurs the image that we have of God. It comes and it tries to disprove the goodness of God. And we need to build on the foundation that we serve a good God. I'm going to talk about those dentists again. When we hurt, and many times we are hurt, we wound it spiritually, emotionally, physically sometimes. And there's all of us that, because we being sanctified, we're not perfect. We're perfect in God's eyes, but we sit with wounds. We sit with hurts. And what happens is, because we bruised or we have fractures, there's pain in our life. And naturally, we pain avoiders. Which of you guys like going to the dentist? You like it. You love it. It's like you're looking forward to going to the dentist. It's like, "Mom, please come and pick me up. There's nothing wrong with me. I just want to go to the dentist." Okay? Maybe you didn't understand my question. I should take you to the prostodontist. We avoid pain, okay? And the older I get, the more I wanna run away from dentists. But I'm gonna draw a picture here. This picture, this December, I had a picture in my mouth. That's what I wanted to say. This December, I developed this serious bad toothache. And we were visiting my in-laws, and they almost became my outlaws because of the pain in my mouth. And so I had to go to a dentist that I didn't know. And if you don't know someone, it's harder to go to that person. It's harder to trust the person. So it's all about trust when you want to go to the dentist. So I went there, okay? The pain drove me there. Okay, but I didn't go to the vet, and I didn't go to, the proctologist, okay? I didn't go there. I knew I had to go to the dentist, because I know the dentist can sort me out. I know that the dentist got a PhD thingy in front of their name. They surely must know what they do. And I was so glad I went. The lady sorted me out. Cost me $800, okay? But she sorted me out. My faith in the dentist drew me there. Do you guys get that?
Yeah.
Okay? And I want you to realize I'm trying to bring a comparison with the way you see God as well. Because when we say we've got idols in our hearts, we even have idols of Jesus. We've got this picture of Jesus because of the Kinder Bible, or because of National Geographic, or because of some bad experience in church or whatever, or some good experience in church or whatever. And many times we worship a Jesus that's not the Jesus of the Bible. You with me? So it's all about
Do we know who we worship? Do we know that God is good for us? On Friday, I went to the dentist again. The same tooth. Okay. And it's actually the prostodontist that told me to go to this one. Now, you walk in there, and in the first place, the guy's name, maybe his name is Louis Buerta. So I was sitting in the ontvangs, the reception, and I was thinking, Louis Buerta was a general in the Boer War. He had a beard like this, you know, scary guy. Okay, so this goes through my mind. I'm trying to pray the Lord's Prayer. Lord, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear. You know, just be with me, Jesus. You know, I just pray. Okay, I'm kidding. It wasn't that bad. But out comes Louis Buerta, great guy, great dentist. So I go in there, and then the fun starts. He's got a screen above his head. I watched two movies of National Geographic. He asked me what I do. I said I'm a pastor. So he plays a documentary about the Vatican. So I'm like, okay, that's interesting. For 2 hours, I'm lying like this. Okay? He had one of those little brillikis on his thing that you clip over. Okay, so he looks like a praying mantis. Great guy, but he's got that brillikey when he stands like that. And then when he switches it, it looks like a Navy SEAL special ops, those night goggles. Now, I'm lying there, and I'm thinking, okay. So everything around there, it's actually just scary. Okay, but I'm just dramatizing the whole thing here. Okay, I kid you not, he does this whole thing with the x-ray gun, and he sticks a thing in your mouth, and it's not everything is pleasant. He had to drain it. Abscess in my mouth again, okay, and he uses a latex glove thingy that he pulls over your mouth because he's got to catch the gunky stuff, and he doesn't want to, very nice guy, doesn't want to go down your throat, everything, you know, go down your throat, mess up everything, and you've got to go to the proctologist because the dentist, prostodontist mess up. That's everything I'm thinking while I'm wiring. Like, I kid you not, he does the double thingy root canal. He's got a blowtorch. He says, okay, this might sound bad, but I just have to burn down the rubber. I'm thinking, like, rawr. So they lit the blowtorch here next to my head, and he goes like, and I'm going like, God, is this a doctor? No pain. I didn't feel anything. Okay, so he sorted it out. So me and the doctor is like that, okay? He's a very friendly guy, and afterwards I realized why he's such a friendly guy, because he sent me the bill, and he, you know, when you take out your wallet at the dentist and the doctor, and you go like, you know, he didn't give me the bill yet, and I go like, I'm ready to pay, and he goes like, no, you can do an EFT. I'm like, okay, but I can pay now. He's like, no, you can do an EFT. I'm like, okay, I am going to do an EFT. Okay, where am I going with this? Sin lies to us, okay? And sin tries to distort the picture that we have of God. Paul continues in Romans 6, verse 21, and he says, but what fruit were you getting at the time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, I just want to read you some scriptures. And I want you to take those scriptures and take your Bibles, not now, but during this year. And go and start to meditate on these, and there's plenty more about the goodness of God. Because the word of God is the spirit of the sword. It's the sword of the spirit. Okay? And what the word of God does, it establishes who he is, what his character is. And the same way that we're afraid to go to a dentist many times. We sit with stuff in our lives a lot of times. And then what sin does and what the enemy does is it isolates us from God's people and from God's things. And we get driven away from the Lord. And instead of running to God, we run away. And we get hurt. And I want to leave you guys with that. I'm going to read this scripture. I wanted to talk about repentance and everything, but I'm not going to go there tonight. In Exodus 33, verse 19, we read this. And he said, I will make all my goodness. This is God speaking to you guys. I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before your name the Lord. My name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Psalm 23 verse 6 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 25 verse 7 says, remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Psalm 145 verse 7, they shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Now I'm going to skip Galatians 5, Titus 3 verse 4. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And guys, I'm going to leave you with that, but God is good. He is a good, good, good God. And it's easy to sit in church and to hear that. But when we walk and when things in our lives doesn't go well, we start questioning God's goodness as well. And at times like that, we have to pull out our Bibles and we have to go to scripture like this and say that our God is good. The scripture I want to close with is yell at the end. I'll find it. Or not. Let's go with this one. Colossians 2 verse 13 to 5. No. Let's go. Acts 3 verse 17 to 20. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. And in this scripture, please note that Jesus did his part. The Christ would suffer, that he fulfilled. Now he's calling us and he says, listen, I want you to repent. And all repentance means is, I'm walking away from everything that's got nothing to do with God, unrighteousness, lies, wickedness, whatever it is, whatever I'm thinking, whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm feeling, that's got nothing to do with God. I'm turning away from that and I'm turning towards God. That's the essence of repentance, metanoia. It's having a change of heart, of thought, and of attitude, which got a direct influence on our actions as well. Would you guys please stand with me tonight? When we're in Jesus, we're in a place of safety. And whatever comes at us, whatever we experience, there's a reminder that God gives us that he has set us free, that he has paid the price, and that he has bought with his own blood, with his own life, our liberty and our freedom. And this is relatively in the beginning of the year. And I'd like to make an invitation tonight to everyone who has not consecrated this year to the Lord yet. I want you to, you know, you guys can come to the front. Ross, if it's okay, you know, we still have 3 minutes of my half an hour. And I know we had a prayer and fast and we did that. But if you're here tonight and you've not prayed with someone and say, Lord, I want to give, I want to consecrate this year to you because you are a good God. And I don't want to attempt this year without you and without your goodness. We want to give opportunity for that. But you can only do that, consecrate your life, consecrate a year to the Lord, if you have a relationship with Jesus. Now, I'm not throwing a curveball here at all. I'm not trying to trick you at all. I want to invite you today that if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, a living relationship, not I go to church regularly, I've been going to church since I've been this high, a relationship with Jesus. If you don't call Him your Lord and your God, if not surrendered your life to Him, I'd like to invite you today, you know, to come to the front. There's some facilitators here that's going to pray with you. The rest of the people's going to consecrate their lives and their year to the Lord. Maybe there's areas in your family that you feel, Lord, we really need your intervention in those areas. Do that now and give it to God. Pray to Him. And it's really simple. You just pray a prayer of consecration. What comes from your heart, you say, Lord Jesus, I come to you and I say, Lord, I want to give my life to you. I want to give this year to you. I want to give my marriage to you. I want to give my children to you. I want to give my friends to you, Lord. I want to give my small group to you. I want to give this church to you. And I want your blessing on that, Lord Jesus. I covenant with you today and say, Lord, come in and be the change that I so desperately need. I want to be happy this year, but I know I can find it in holiness. If you're here tonight and you experience, I'm not holy. I'm not holy. You feel a lot of condemnation and a lot of lying, a lot of accusation, a lot of frustration coming to you the whole time. Chances are that you've not met Jesus yet, or you've walked away from Him, or there's some confusion. We want to pray with you. I think the band's going to just worship. They're just going to do a song, and we're just going to do some ministry. You know, this is for people who's here the first time. I want you to picture. That's why we always try to tell people this is a family. And we want you to picture how we sit around a table, you know. And God is our Father. He's sitting at the head of the table and He ministers to us. Jesus walks from chair to chair. He hosts us. He loves us. He's the master of the ceremonies. He's the eregas, you know, and He comes and He wants to work with you guys today. And if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you now, because God is here. God is here. God is where there's people. God wants to move. And He's here tonight. If He speaks to you on the inside, don't be afraid. Okay, I know it's for many of you, it's new. It's the first time. But we really want to just love on you. We want to just be Jesus for you. Be His hands. Be His voice. Trust God to speak into your life, to prophesy over you. So if you want to consecrate, can you guys maybe just start praying? Ross, I don't know if you want to facilitate some more.